Right, it's a Panthers pre-game podcast. We're looking ahead to the final weekend of pre-season action. Panthers on the road in Cardiff on Saturday, and then back home on Sunday. 4 p.m. face-off. It's the Aladdin Cup. Panthers looking to retain the Aladdin Cup. It's a game sponsored on Sunday by AR Signs. We're going to look ahead and look back, joined by a trio of gentlemen, Ken Feast, Dan Green, and Jono Bullard. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening, Chris.
Not a chance to talk to Jono since he went on his pet tarantula class, have we? How was that, Jono?
Yeah, bitten a few times, but you know, I think my arm's been saved. God bless the NHS and all that.
It was like a while since we got together, but we were all just so busy last week. We couldn't meet up. Everyone had bits and bobs on. Maybe we'll touch on GB in Denmark and Jono's second tarantula class. But we really should talk about what's coming up and what's just gone. Let's start with hockey first, and then off the ice will come. So let's Greener, former Panthers netminder. Let's talk about the game on Sunday. I had to watch from afar. There's a few of us, the Danish branch of the Nottingham Panthers Supporters Club that was out in force. How many were there? 1, 2, 3, 4. There was Ollie, there was Tets, me and Laura Joe. A couple more popped their heads in. Lacko, not sure who was supporting, but Lax came and watched for a bit as well. But what do you think? To me, looking from afar, it was... not that I was worrying or anything, but it was much needed. A few goals, some really pretty passes of play, some nicely taken goals. All in all, it looked just what the doctor ordered, really, Greener.
Yeah, I think that was exactly it. It was just what was needed to just settle any kind of, not nerves, but you know, any questions, any worries. It was, we kind of said it on commentary, and I think me and Ken said it afterwards in the podcast that it just kind of ticked a lot of boxes, you know, power play goal, shorthanded goal, good net minding. The goals were spread out amongst a lot of players. It was, you know, if we'd have won, but it would have been a bit ugly, a bit of a struggle, you know, we're still not quite there. But I think all the questions people were answering, you know, kind of got answered in that one game. And there was a lot starting to be some chemistry from certain guys. I think the systems were implemented a bit more, but it also had that bit more intensity, you know, a little bit more of an elite league feel, a few more hits, a few more, you know, back and forth. And it was just like the first few games were done, but it seems like now they're kind of kicking into gear. And, you know, guys are starting to put the puck in the net. And I thought it was a very good game from start to finish.
Well, your drink to that then, Ken. You agree with that? And then maybe let's just kind of go off the ice as well. We'll just kind of move around and talk about on and off the ice. But off the ice, I mean, I could hear the noise on the webcast. Obviously, a great following in from Germany. We know what the Panthers Nation are like. But it sounds as though it made for one of the best kind of carnival atmospheres, maybe whether that's the right word, in the NIC in recent times.
Yeah, it was good. I think, you know, the fans enjoyed it. I think it's always good when there's a bit of variety with the visiting team, and I think the culture of the way hockey's supported in Germany and some of the European leagues is more potentially akin to a bit of a more like a football crowd. They something I thought was, you don't see enough of really, is the removal of shoes and shirts in unison at the end of a game and the bare chest.
Greener would have fitted in with them.
Yeah,
well, I love it. I did it in the commentary box.
And I thought, you know, that's great to see. You know, you don't see that very often, and that's the variety of the pre-season with some European opposition. So, you know, yeah, joking aside, it was great and it was very enjoyable, and it probably felt a little bit more like a Saturday night than a Sunday afternoon. So it was, you know, what's not to like. But going to the game itself and kind of saying, right, okay, what's my view on that? The biggest thing that I took away from it around, you know, because the scoreline is the scoreline, and yes, it's nice to win, you know, by 5 goals and beat a team convincingly and all of that, and that's all good. It was, for me, it was the quality of the finishing.
Mm.
And that was the thing that stood out to me. And the the way that we took our chances, the way that we were not afraid to have a shot. You know, talk about, you know, Logan Nielsen, not afraid to shoot on net. Reed Stephenson picks it up in an awkward position, goes one-on-one and makes absolutely no mistake. He buries it. And for me, I thought, yeah, that's, you know, all the goals, obviously Otto's was a bit, you know, it was well worked and a bit scrappy over the line. And probably there was the Berg goal, which was, came down to a bit of dispute. We can talk about that later, but the finishing, I just thought was really quality. And that's what I took away from it.
Well, it's a good point you made, because there was, you know, I think there was five well-taken goals, and then those two goals, it's kind of similar, but at different corners of the net. Otto's perseverance for his goal, and then Berg's perseverance the other side for his goal. That was just down to, like, players willing to get their hands dirty and not just give up on the play. So I love to see that type of goal just as much. I love to see Berg's bar down and Logie's great finish. Jono, I know you weren't there. I think it was Pet snake class on Sunday. So getting busy with your not animal.
No, I was actually commentating on hockey on Sunday.
Okay, but the field variety.
The field variety, yeah, yeah.
Right. It was, okay.
I think somebody thought, well, he commentates on the stuff on ice. He must be able to do it on field. It was, it's a very, very different game. Let's say that. much.
The team with the most goals wins, though. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, the principle's exactly the same. Just the execution is a bit different.
So I know it's harder for you to answer this, but you'll have seen the goals, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, you look at, as these guys have said, the lines are gelling. One line that particularly really impressed me and pleased me was Logan Nielsen, and obviously to see Adam Berg and Jordan Kelsor with the assist, you know, Berg with two goals and Logan Nielsen with two goals. That's what is officially down as the fourth line. So I think there's two things in one here for me. One is, if that's your regular fourth line, that shows what depth we've got this season. And secondly, you know, those guys have all already said, hey, look, if things change, like, you know, the coach wants to change the lines around or whatever, I'm putting my hand up, you know, to go up the line. So I think I'm kind of asking more than one question in one. Great goals, as the boys said, but real proof early on that there is depth in this lineup.
I think we've always felt there's been a lot of depth within the lines anyway. I remember when the very first game against UQTR, and when me and Dan was looking through the lineup, and we were both saying how much depth it was, certainly through lines 1 to 3. And I think getting players back from GB, in the case of Logan Nielsen coming in on Sunday, getting a couple of goals, that we're starting to see that real depth available to the team. And I think if you've got scoring coming from all four lines, then it can only bode well for the rest of the season. And if your fourth line is getting, what, four goals like they did, but then players are still scoring up the lines. I mean, Chris Kontos's goal on the power play was absolutely superb. It was a beautiful strike, I thought. And yeah, it's great to see. It was great to see so many guys getting on the score sheet. And I think there was probably a bit of frustration with the three results that we've had so far, with the three losses. And I think that frustration came out in a really positive way on Sunday, certainly from looking at the highlights.
Yeah, and I'll take positives from all of those three defeats. You look at the game against UQTR, could have gone either way. First game of the season, you don't read anything into that. I think, you know, it did dawn on me watching the Sheffield game. I kept seeing the lines come out, and I'm like, why? I know Sheffield are deep. They looked really deep, but they played 17 imports that night. I think this was an agreement that we let them do that. So they were pretty stacked after a tough start. You know, you look at the way they grew into the game in Sheffield, very impressive. Actually had some good chances in the second half of the game. Manchester, I mean, you know, you go on about that, but the netminder last year, your netminder of the season, wasn't he? Again, he put on a clinic. Unfortunately, you know, Manchester, you know, I don't know how many of you guys saw it. I'm sure you did, Ken. They got in waves and they, you know, they got those two quick goals and kind of put the game to bed. But Panthers had a lot of chances that night, and it probably wasn't a 4-1 scoreline. And then obviously, you know, into this game on on Sunday. A couple of questions more before we move on. Greener, it was good probably for I mean, again, two questions in one here. Great to have Rock back with us. So sad that Hunter Vorver's injured, and hopefully he'll be with us soon. I'm sure the timeline, you know, is we said in October time, we'll see how his recovery goes. But yeah, great to see a good, strong performance from Bedard. And then, obviously, you know, Rock come in. He wasn't tested probably in the second period, but made some good saves in the third.
Yeah, I think it was almost the perfect game for him to come into. You know, we certainly weren't running away with it when he came in, but in that second period, I mean, he may have faced one shot. You know, it's just really nice to come in and ease into a game. And then, obviously, in the third, we were kind of streaks ahead by then, and he had, you know, 6-7 saves to make. He made some decent saves, but I think really, you know, for a guy that obviously hasn't played for quite a while, just to come back in, you know, feel a few pucks, make some saves. It was almost like the perfect second debut. And yeah, I thought Ryan was excellent. And, you know, in that first period, even though the scoreline 7-2 at the end, that first period was very tight. And for the first 8 or 10 minutes, we were probably outplayed, if I'm honest. So he kind of kept us in it for the first 10 minutes. And then once the boys got going, obviously we kind of ran away with it. I thought both of them looked very solid, and I think it'll be a really, really good partnership moving forward.
We talked about the goalies, we talked about the forwards. So, Kenneth, come to you on defence. Looking at social media, I've seen various defencemen, you know, fans already having their favourites. You know, who's been your standout so far in the games that you've seen?
Rather than pick an individual, I just think, for me, it's more how they've been... How the partnerships are developing is kind of what I've noticed. And you go back to that point you said about the lines up front, and you sort of think there's been quite a lot of changeover in the lines, you know, and Danny has been really using the preseason and the fact that those results are, you know, in a way they're important because everyone wants to see their team win, but they're also really, really important that Danny takes all of this time to change what he can and do what he can. And he's having a look at so many different options on both at the front, and he's also kind of looking at that at the back. And we've seen, obviously, I think Kels has moved between defence, and he was kind of back in his more natural position up front. And I think that was, he's probably felt more comfortable there as well on that fourth line. And yeah, I think for me it's no one guy or no one individual. It's more just seeing how it's developing and how Danny's using the time to kind of look at his options. So I'm not really answered your question there, but I've sort of given you a version of it.
No, I think you have. I think you make a very good point as well. It's a fair point to make. Jono, let's move on to the weekend. Finally, you're back after all your little classes. I'm not, though. So, yeah, a black mark against me for missing another. Cardiff home and away. Away first on Saturday. I am making the trip to Cardiff, though, to Wales. So I'm looking forward to that. Are Cardiff going to be... I mean, I know you can't say whether they're going to be better by the end of the season, but I feel they look stronger on paper than they did last season, don't they?
They've got a few players, well, a couple of players back, a couple to pick out, Matt Carruth in goal and Gleeson Fournier in defence.
Well, Carruth got injured. Carruth got limped out of the game against Sheffield, and so I don't know how severe that is, but he didn't play the next night.
All right, Gleeson Fournier is a quality defenceman. He was absolute quality the last time he was here. So I think that's a great re-signing for them. I was actually doing quite a bit of prep for Sunday today, and looking at their lineup, they've managed to retain 12 players from last season. So that's a really good core they've kept
together.
You know
what, John, I'll just interrupt you. Most of them are Brits, though. They retain their core. Well, they basically swapped Waller for Pellini, which is fine. I mean, you know, Waller's a quality player. He just got named, you know, player of the tournament for GB. Pellini, obviously, we know how good he is. There was quite a high turnover as imports. That did surprise me a little. When I was chatting to the Cardiff guys at GB in Denmark, there is a big turnover of imports, more than I felt, actually.
So they got, I mean, I know Evan Mosey I don't want to start another debate, but he is obviously British, but he counts as an import in the Elite League. So he came back. Cody Donaghy came back. Who else looking through? Tyler Bush, Riley Brandt, is that it?
It's probably
Ryan Barrow. Yeah. He signed from Manchester last season as well. He's returned as well. And of course, Joey Martin.
Oh, yeah. There must be six or seven new, though, isn't there? I think.
Yeah, I think about six. Yeah, six new. I think is six. Six. Yeah, six. I think. But you know, Cardiff always put together a competitive side, but they've also had quite a mixed preseason. They started before everybody else, and they sort of got a win and a loss, and they got that win against GB. They lost quite heavily to the Giants. And then they've had two losses to the Steelers. So, you know, they've had a very, very mixed preseason so far. So I think it should be quite an interesting matchup between the two teams. Obviously, Panthers have Tets and Ollie Betridge back as well. So even more depth. And it'd be very interesting to see what happens in those two games at the weekend. I think there could be two very, very close matchups.
You think, I'm just looking at their roster and there's loads of quality players, but in terms of CVs, and I'll probably get his name wrong, Hunter Shinkaruk. Have I said that right, do we think?
Shinkaruk, I think. Shinkaruk. I think you pretty much got it, yeah.
Nearly there. Has he got the best CV in the league? He's not far off, is he?
I mean, he's joined from the DEL.
He's got to be the highest drafted player.
Yeah, I mean, he was drafted first round.
He's come straight from the DEL.
And you look at his AHL experience.
Games. KHL, 124 games in the KHL. Yeah,
and he's only 29.
Yeah, that's a very, very good CV. That's an excellent CV. So he's definitely going to be one to keep an eye on, certainly in this early part of the season. He's still got to settle in. He's coming to a new team, but you know that he's going to be a very interesting one to watch over the first few games, I think.
Yeah, not a fan though.
What's the catch then? That's what I'm thinking. What's the bit we don't know? What's the non-financials, as I would say in my role?
That's cynical, and I think we've all seen this before. but no, I know what you're saying, because we've looked at players who have come here. And it's been like, that's why he's not in the NHL. But then you look at the caliber of player that we're attracting now, and we watched Liverpool about Cooper Zek again, another player at 20 with such an outstanding resume and as an earlier part of his career than obviously this lad Hunter. I think it just shows you. Now that the quality of player that the Elite League is now beginning to sign again, which maybe dropped slightly after COVID, is now back on its way up, isn't it? I mean, yeah, go to you. That's a good point. That Ken kind of makes that in jest, but you know that the caliber of player signing someone like, you know, Hunter to Cardiff. We look at Cooper Zek and how young he is, and he was a draft pick, and the fact that He had his AHL experience. It just shows you that the Elite League is really beginning to attract that top quality player.
Yeah, I tell you, just on that, actually, you mentioned, you know, obviously Zek and his.
Well, he wasn't a draft pick. He was just involved in that trade, wasn't he?
I think he had an outstanding game on Sunday. You know, you asked me to pick a D-man, and I'd probably go, he had an outstanding game. Mm. And he just, he's one of those players that you just he's so composed, and you think he just looks like he's got time. And that's what I like about him. The other player that stood out for me, it was nice, was Palmer, actually. Yeah, he got a few shifts, and I thought he didn't look out of place. I know it's pre-season, and I know they've got to take every moment of the chances that they get, but there were a few times where he made some really good linking passes, and he held his own out there. And this, the benefit of the, I think you asked the question, Jono, in an interview, was it either last week or the week before, to possibly to Danny, around the way that the two-way system has changed, that you player can have up to 20 two-way appearances without counting towards the roster limit. Yeah. Apologies if I've explained that in the wrong way, but it gives a huge opportunity. And I think it was looking at where we are with Team GB and the number of players in the... Because if GB's... I'm sort of jumping around now, but if GB's aim is to qualify for an Olympic Games, the next rotation in 4 years' time, you look at the number of players on the roster now that probably you would think might not be in that squad as you go into that rotation.
There's loads.
How important is it that the Elite League continues to do things like the up to 20 appearances on a two-way basis doesn't count towards the roster limit, to allow the opportunity and make teams call players up, not fear calling them up because of a penalty?
It's a good point. And let's come to you, Jono, because, you know, I think you're very passionate about the British players like I am. Well, we all are. But Jono, the slight tweaks to the Elite League rules that you've seen in the past few days, are you broadly in favour of them?
Yeah, very much so. I think it gives head coaches a lot of leeway to bring players in, because with them now not counting towards the overall roster, if they see a player or a player's playing well in the National League, they can say, well, let's have a look at him. Let's bring him in for a couple of games and see how he gets on. If there's injuries, you can look at bringing your two ways in to plug them gaps. And they're going to get valuable experience as well, playing up at an Elite League team. So there's the two-way benefit, is the fact that those players get to experience playing in a professional league, but also then it puts them in the shop window for Great Britain as possible squad inclusions, because it may put them on Pete Russell's radar as well. And then also it gives options to head coaches throughout the Elite League. So I think it's a incredibly positive and a very, very good move by the league.
I come to you now, Greener, because I think I had a question for you about 5 minutes ago, but Ken thought I said Ken, or just wanted to make his point. So we just let him roll with it, to be honest. We'll roll with it. Anyone get Oasis tickets?
No. No, Laura and Mitch.
Did he go for them, Greener? No?
I didn't know. No.
Ken, did you bother?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't try, but I'm at one with the fact that I didn't get any, but I had my fill by lots of Oasis references on Sunday, and reminded me. I think at one point everyone was singing along to Wonderwall, so that was good.
I heard you playing Oasis. I thought it was quite topical.
I think Paul Ellis got some tickets, didn't he?
Say again.
I think Paul Ellis got some tickets, didn't he?
He did not. Karen Ellis got some tickets.
Oh, okay.
Of which one is mine, but I don't really say that much because so many angry people who didn't get them. So I try and keep quiet about that because there's lots of annoyed people. I did see, I mean, we're really going off topic here, that Oasis have just announced there's more dates at Wembley and people that missed out get a chance. How they know who missed out, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not bitter over the whole thing in any way, but there's part of me that hopes that within 20 minutes of gig number one,
and there you go.
Noel wraps his guitar around Liam's head, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that is the joke, isn't it? That the people when I was looking about which date maybe go, they were like, go early because they won't be together late on, but they'll be together. I mean, just why not? I mean, the eye-watering figures. Greener, I think I was asking you which defenseman impressed you so far, and we might as well stay with that question. You know, we've talked about you know, we know your love for goal is understandably, but what about the defense? You know, do you kind of broadly in agreement with what Ken was saying, or have you got some standouts?
Yeah, I think so. I think we just look good as a unit back there. You know, I think sometimes, obviously, because we don't know the players as well yet, it's not hard to differentiate, but we've just, whoever's out there look really comfortable. I think, obviously, Cooper is probably the easiest on the eye. You know, he probably skates the best. he's going to be running the power play. He, you know, he's going to be a really offensive kind of player. But I think Matt Spencer looks really good as well. You know, big body. He looks physical. He looks like he kind of does a bit of everything. Like he'll sort of jump in the rush and probably score a few points. But he looks pretty good in his own end. He's a big body. But, you know, Quinn's really big as well, big and physical. So I think everybody back there is just going to be really solid. Big, you know, Spencer, Tets, Quinn, they're all sort of 6'3", 6'4", minimum. So, yeah, I just think we're going to be big, physical, solid. But I think, yeah, the same as Ken. I think Cooper's obviously going to be the one, probably the highest point-scoring D, the most offensive D, probably the most, you know, gifted sort of skater. So I think a lot of people will enjoy watching him play.
Not got long left, but Ken, I just want to come to you. No, not Ken, Greener, one more to you.
You said that earlier, but it's literally your fault.
It was. You know what I mean? Well, I got my Encore and Saltbox mixed up the other week and you had to correct me. So, you know, so there you go. So earlier when I said Ken, I meant Greener. Look, I'm just as we're talking, I'm looking at some of the great social content that Sophie's put out in the past week, which has, as ever, been brilliant. I'm looking at this here, the funniest Panther. She had a mini mic out. I'm not going to ask you, Greener, your funniest Panther of the season, because you're still getting to know guys like we all are. Who's your funniest Panther of all time?
Oh, I don't know if I could pick just one. I think that would be almost impossible. I mean, Linger would obviously be right up there. I think that probably goes without saying. Maybe Brandon Benedict would be one. I think Lacko would probably have to be up there. I don't like giving him too many props, but I think he'd have to be up there. And I'd say Matt Francis would be right up there as well. So, I mean, I know I'm just naming half the team ever, but those four are names that jump out straight away to me. But yeah, so many.
You never mentioned like Joe Grimaldi. I thought maybe Joe Grimaldi would be in there, but
I actually got on really well with him. I'm not sure how funny he was though. But yeah,
the Grim was hilarious when he threw that helmet at Perron. But
well, yeah. I mean, we've never seen it since, and probably we didn't see it before and never seen it.
You don't see enough of it. That's what I keep saying. It's like they're like classic things, you know. Like it's like a penalty you don't see called very often anymore. One of my personal bets is travesty of game.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, John. You and I were talking about something we want to get off the ground about. You know, it's our 25th anniversary season. Best moments at the arena. I wonder whether that would, I mean, how hard could that get in there? Because it was fun.
It was. Right. If you look at on Panther's YouTube channel and sort it by numbers of views, it is the biggest viewed video by far. By
is it a really?
Country mile. It's got about 350,000 views.
No
that
way.
Incident. If you go on the Panthers YouTube channel, click into videos, click into popular, and it puts the most popular one at the top. And that is there. I think it's something like 350,000 views, I'm sure.
That's brilliant.
And you're going in there now, aren't you?
Well, no, I trust you. I'm intrigued to see what would be second. But you know, we've got two. Yeah.
We've
run out of time, but I think next week's podcast should be not our 25 favourite moments when we talk about beating Burn or beating Belfast to win the treble, but the 25 craziest moments. I need you to get to winning.
I like that.
Yeah, 20,
I like that,
25. Yeah. I want you to come next week, I think, with a couple of crazy moments. Let's think, because I've got a few in my mind already. But because it's our 25th anniversary season, let's start to drop them in. We're going to have to go, or it's going to get cut off by Elon Musk or whoever runs Zoom. Don't know who it is. But for now, boys, thanks very much for joining us.